All right, well, today's a special Sunday because it's an opportunity for us to worship together as, first of all, not only the family of God, but then also within our family units as well. And so there's a couple reasons why we want to do this. So we try to do this at once in the fall and then once in the spring. And one of the reasons why we want to do this as a church is because it's the responsibility of one generation to declare the praises of God to the next generation. And it's really an opportunity for us to do that together as the family of faith. And then not only that, but really it's an opportunity for us to invest into our families, so our current families as well as even the future families to come. And what we want to do is we want to normalize and we want to really create this culture within our families that we should be worshiping together. And so as we start off our time together, what I'm going to ask us to do, if we're here with our families, to sit together with our families, or if we're here as single adults or working as students, then to sit together with our spiritual family. And we're going to try to make this time interactive, which means there's going to be times of sharing, times of prayer, and so forth. And so maybe we can group off into groups of three. And so we want to start off with just this quick question, which is, as many of us know, Thanksgiving season is quickly upon us. So when you think about Thanksgiving, what is that one thing that you are looking forward to the most? Right? It's the only time of the year where you have turkey. Some of you have family flying in. Some of you will be going out to see your family. Some of you, you're not going to be working, so you're just going to be chillaxing, whatever it may be. Let's share with one another, what is that one thing that you are looking towards the most during this Thanksgiving season? Can we do that next, two minutes, 1 minute, 30 seconds? Just really quick with the people around you. And these are the people that you're going to be sharing with for the rest of our time together, so... All right. Well, hopefully there's many things that you guys are looking forward to as you approach this Thanksgiving season. When I think about Thanksgiving, it's really easy for us to give thanks to God when things are going really well in our lives, right? Things are going well in our work. Things are going well in our friendships. Things are going well in our families, studies, and so forth. But when it's really difficult, when things are difficult, when there's conflict, when there's uncertainty, it's in these seasons where it's really hard for us to give thanks. But the Bible tells us this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says this. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and then say verse 18 with me. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Right? In the Message translation, it says this. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ to live. Think about that. Thank God no matter what happens, because this is the way for those of us who belong to Christ. This is the way that God wants for us to live. The way that God wants for us to live is to give thanks to Him no matter what happens. But the question is, how can we do that? How are we able to give thanks to God no matter what happens? And I just want to point out three quick reasons why we can give thanks to God no matter what happens in our lives. And the first reason is this, that we can give thanks to God no matter what happens because God loves us. Because God loves us. Romans 8, 37 through 39, it says this, know in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Message translation says this, none of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. That nothing that we face in our lives gets in the way of us experiencing God's love for us. So Paul says that nothing can separate us from the love of God because, first of all, he says God is for us. That God is for you. Not only is God for us, but Paul also reminds us that God has given us His best. That He hasn't withheld His best from us. And Paul also reminds us that God has already forgiven us. That God has already justified us. And ultimately, Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God because God does not condemn us. Regardless of the ups and downs that we experience in our lives, that God does not condemn us. That the Apostle Paul reminds us that no matter what happens, that we can be confident of God's love for us. Turn to the person next to you and let them know, God loves you. Right? God loves you. But what does that mean when we say that God loves us? Well, we want to go ahead and watch this video together and really think about this question of what does it mean when we say that God loves us? So let's go ahead and watch this together. So when you think about how we can know that God loves us, well, we can know that God loves us because God is love. So love isn't something that God does, but love is who he is. And because God is love, his actions flow out from who he is. So that regardless of what happens, regardless of what we experience in our lives, that God is always hesed, which means God is love in the ways that he deals with us. So we can have the certainty that no matter what happens, that we can give thanks to God because why? Because God loves us, right? Not only that, but the second reason that we can give thanks to God no matter what happens is because God can use all things for our good. God can use all things for our good. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Once again, in the message, it says, that's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. That regardless of what we experience in our lives, God uses it all for our good. Now, it's really important for us to understand that doesn't mean that every circumstance that we experience in our lives, that they are good. Because sometimes the circumstances that we experience in our lives, sometimes it's unpleasant, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's hurtful, sometimes it's painful. Because even during these times where Paul is writing this letter to the church, Christians who are spread out throughout the city of Rome, they were experiencing tremendous persecution. They were undergoing difficulties in their lives. But Paul reminds them that regardless of the circumstances, that God is working their circumstances into something that is good. And you know what that something that is good is? What is God doing in working through our circumstances? Something that is good is God working in our lives to make us more like him. That God is changing us so that we're becoming more and more like who he is. Which means, when it's hard for us to love, that means it's an opportunity for God to shape our lives so that we are able to love. When it's hard for us to be kind to people who might be mean to us, because God is working in our lives, he's changing us and challenging us so that we are being shaped into more of who he is, being kind. It means that God is teaching us to be patient when it's hard for us to be patient, because God is always patient in dealing with us. And it's through these challenges that God is shaping our lives so that we're becoming more and more like him. I brought two illustrations with me. First is, this is my kettlebell. This is an exercise, 35 pounds, right? And so you do this at home. Thank you. This is hard. It's not easy to do. And I don't think anyone enjoys straining themselves. But the reason why we are able to embrace these challenges, why? Because exercise is what? It's good for us, right? Now, second illustration. Now, some of you might not resonate so much with the exercise. So I brought, I know, this trumpet is 30-some years old. Last time I played it was 30-some years ago, all right? So I'm going to attempt to play. I tried it, and my kids were like, what is, something dying upstairs? So let me see if I can make a sound. All right, thank you. But I remember in high school, one of the things that I hated to do was to practice my instrument. Because something, you know, when you're playing the trumpet, like you have to press your mouth into that little mouthpiece, and it would cause such pain in my lips. But I had to practice to get better, even though it was at times painful and difficult. And because I was willing to embrace something that was hard for me, one of my highlights in high school was we had the opening ceremonies of back then they used to call it Special Olympics. And they asked top four or five trumpet players from each high school in that area to participate in the opening ceremony. And I had the opportunity to play with hundreds of other students in the opening ceremony. And that was such an awesome experience. But sometimes there are difficult moments that we experience in our lives. But God uses these moments in our lives as an opportunity for us to grow so we're becoming more and more like him. So we want to, once again, in our families and in our huddle groups, sharing time. So we want to take some time to share with one another. In what ways is God demonstrating his goodness towards you? When you think about the specific season, maybe as an elementary school student, maybe as a college student, maybe as a working adult, even as families, in what specific ways is God demonstrating his goodness towards you? And in what ways is God working in you so that you are becoming more and more like him, right? Think about, in what ways has God been at work in your lives in this specific season so that you are becoming more and more like him? So once again, can we share with one another, okay, about 3 minutes? So let's once break up into our family groups, into our spiritual family groups, and then maybe we can share with one another how God has been demonstrating his goodness to us and in what ways God is working in our lives so that we're becoming more like him. Okay, let's share together. All right, so we can give thanks to God no matter what happens because God loves us and because God uses all things for our good. And lastly, we can give thanks to God no matter what happens because God is always with us. God is always with us, right? Joshua 1:9, it says this, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Once again, in the message, it says, "Haven't I commanded you strength, courage? Don't be timid, don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take." It's a wonderful reminder for us that God is with us every step we take. And we know the story. Joshua was chosen as this young leader. Their old leader passed away. There's this young leader with this responsibility to lead God's people into the promised land. And when you think about it, I'm sure he had a lot of questions. I'm sure he was thinking to himself, can I really do this or not? And God reminds Joshua, hey, don't worry. Every single step you take, that I will be with us, that I will be with you. That God's presence reminds us that we can always give thanks to God because regardless of what happens, that his presence is always guiding us. His presence is always empowering us. When you think about when I was little, and I think for many children, they all experienced this, right? I remember when I was really little, I was afraid of, what are kids afraid of? Dark places. You can't see through it. You don't know what's there. But the thing that really brought comfort to me in those times that I was really afraid was what? My parents. So if my dad or my mom was with me, the darkness wouldn't necessarily recede. The darkness wouldn't necessarily disappear, but it was their presence that brought such comfort to me, knowing that they were with me, that they were guiding me through, right? And I think it's the same promise that God makes to us, that regardless of what we experience in our lives, that he promises that he will walk with us always, that his presence will never leave us. For me, even when things get really difficult, there is always one thing that I'm very thankful for, and that is the gospel, the news that Jesus came to die for our sins. And so, especially for our kids, I want you guys to listen carefully. So when we think about the gospel is what? It's the good news. And so it starts with God's design, right? Think about that, God's design, which means God designed everything around us, everything in us, and God designed us for his specific purpose. But the problem is what? There's this thing called sin. Sin means we want to do things our own way. Even though God has designed us to live in a very specific way, in specific relationship with him, we said, God, forget it, we're going to do things our way. And because of our sin and rebellion, there is what? There is brokenness. There's brokenness, which means things don't function in the way that they should. And the problem with brokenness is that regardless of how hard we try to fix brokenness, we can never fix brokenness, whether it's the brokenness out there, the brokenness we see in the world, or brokenness inside. But because God loves us, he doesn't leave us in our brokenness, but he sent Jesus to rescue us from our brokenness, and that is the gospel, right? That Jesus did what we could never do for ourselves, that he took our sins, he took our shame, he took our guilt on the cross, he paid the penalty of our sin by his death, and he was raised again from death to prove to us that he is God. And in order for us to accept this gift, we repent and we believe, which means we admit to the brokenness that we see in our lives, and we trust in Jesus' work for us on the cross. And so when we enter into this new relationship with Jesus, we can pursue God's design, that he restores that design in us so that we can pursue God's design in all areas of our lives. We can pursue God's design in our families. We can pursue God's design in our work. We can pursue God's design in our friendships, in our studies. This is the gospel message, that while we were living in brokenness, that God entered into our lives, God entered into our world to give us new hope, so that we are no longer left in our brokenness, but we are invited to pursue God's design and God's purpose for our lives. And so even if all else fails, when things are really difficult, and when we're searching for reasons to give thanks to God, remember that God spoke his gospel into your life, that God met us through his love and his forgiveness. And that's what Psalm 100 declares, right? And so as we close out our time together, I want us to read this together. So I'm going to read for us verses 1 and 2. You guys read 3 all together, and then I'll read 4, and then you guys finish us off by reading 5, okay? So I'll start us off. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Amen. And as we close out our time together, we're going to pray together. And so once again, we want to share together in our smaller groups, especially for our families. This is an opportunity for us to be praying for our kids. So I really want you guys to be together and then share one thing that you are most thankful to God for in this specific season of your life. And then as you share those things, lift up prayers of thanksgiving. Lift up prayers of praise for his goodness, his faithfulness, and his presence in our lives, in the lives of our kids, lives of our brothers and sisters, and in our families. And so let's do that. Can we do that? Can we pray for one another? And then after a little bit, we'll close out our time together. All right. Well, let me go ahead and pray for us. If you guys are still praying, I want to encourage you guys to continue to pray together. But I'm going to pray for us as we close out our time together. And then after I pray, we'll enter into a time of just worship. And so let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we want to acknowledge that you are our Lord and that you are God, that you reign over every single one of our lives. You reign over our church. You reign over the lives of our kids. You reign over every family that is represented here, God, that you have made us and that you remind us that we belong to you, God, that we belong to you, that we are part of your family, that you call us your sons and your daughters, and that you care for us because we belong to you, God, that we are your people. And we're reminded, God, in this season of Thanksgiving that you are good. God, sometimes our circumstances might say otherwise, and we have questions. Sometimes we don't understand specific seasons that we go through in our lives and the struggles that we experience. That your word reminds us over and over again that you are good, that you are gracious to us, that you are loving because that is who you are, that you cannot be any other way. And Father, we pray that you'll remind us that it is your steadfast love in our lives that endures forever, that nothing will be able to separate us from your love, and that you will be faithful to all generations, that you will be faithful to the youngest here, to the oldest, that you will be faithful, that your faithfulness will endure, and that faithfulness is not dependent on us, but it's because you are consistent in demonstrating your love and your forgiveness, God, towards us. And so we want to pray, Lord, especially for all the kids that are here. God, we pray that you will speak the gospel into their hearts, that you will help them to know that they are so loved and cherished, that there's a specific purpose that you have spoken into their lives, that purpose of being in this relationship with you, God, that despite the seasons that we go through, whether it's indifference, whether it's rebellion, help us to know, God, that in our brokenness that you have made the way. And so help us to not only understand the gospel message through our minds, but help us to know the gospel message through our hearts. God, I want to especially pray for those of us that even when in the season of Thanksgiving, maybe it's not, we're not very thankful for the things that we're experiencing in our lives. But remind us, God, that even in these seasons of trial and tribulation, that we, as we remember all that you've done, may you birth in us a heart that will say, God, despite what happens, I will continue to sing praises of thanksgiving to you because you are worthy, God. You are worthy. Open our hearts and our eyes to really help us to see the worthiness of who you are. So, Father, I pray for all the families here. I pray for all the single adults here. I pray for all of our students here that you will continue to declare your praises into our hearts. And may that overflow in thanksgiving. So we thank you and we praise you, God, for this time together. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we close out.